book of Matthew in chapter 4.
Yeah.
I'd like to begin reading in verse 18. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And then if you will, look over in the book of Mark in chapter 1 and verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said to them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their net and followed him. When he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in a ship mending their net. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with their hired servants, and went after him. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that you would make us fishers of men.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that we'd get in the business of catching men for your glory. Lord, I pray that we'd catch the vision of people perishing and going out with a life net and catching them and bringing them in. Lord, I pray that any lost soul in the sound of my voice would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray that your name be magnified. I pray that you get all the glory and all the honor and all the praise this morning. Because you alone are worthy.
Amen.
That name was above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." In my lifetime as a believer, some 10 years, I've had experience of talking to many, many people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I've talked to many people that are lost, and many people that are saved. I had all sorts of conversations, just amazing, the conversations I've had over a lifetime. Of preaching the gospel. I've had people tell me that they're saved. They say, "Well, you know, I'm filled with the Spirit. I've got the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues. I do this. I do that." They told me what they do. I mean, they spend 6-7 days a week going to Bible studies. They go to seminars. They drive all over the country. They do all sorts of things for God. They have Bible studies. They have prayer meetings. They do a lot for God. But I ask them one thing. Are you a fisher of men?
Amen.
They tell me that they are following Christ. I mean, they're going from camp meeting, revival meeting to revival meeting, camp meeting to camp meeting, Bible study to Bible study, service after service, but are they a fisher of men?
Amen.
I mean, they can speak in tongues of thousands of men. I mean, they can supposedly heal people, but are they a fisher of men? Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." My friends, this idea that you're following Christ and you're not a fisher of men, there's something the matter with that.
Yeah, that's right.
There's something the matter with it. I mean, you might have a doctrinal degree. You might be called Dr. Doolittle. You might have 1,000,000 Bibles on your bookcase. You might have a high education. You might have a lot of things. But my friends, if you're a follower of Christ, there's one marker. Those that follow Jesus, he's a fisher of men.
Amen.
You look at the apostles. You look at the men of God that God had used through down through time, and you're going to find that they had a compassion, they had a concern for the souls of people. They were interested in winning men to Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you this morning, are you a fisher of men? Are you a soul winner? Are you one of these type of people that go out and try to win souls for the cause of Christ? You try to win them for Jesus Christ. Jesus told his disciples one time, he says, "Go out of the highways and hedges and compel them to come in." My friends, we need to be in the business of compelling people to come to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He says, "Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." I'd ask you this morning, are you following Christ? If you are, then you ought to be learning how to be a fisher of men.
Amen.
Huh? Notice the response that he got here. It's not an ordinary response. You don't find this very often. Huh? You don't find this very often. Look what he says here in Mark. "And straightway they forsook their net and followed him."
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
I mean, these men are out fishing. They probably just got in from fishing. Now, one group of them, they were mending their nets. They're working on their nets. Now, this is their trade. This is their occupation. This is what they went to school for. They learned how to fish. They'd been brought up with it. They've been doing it all their lives. It became Christian tradition for them. They were fishers. I mean, this is what they've been doing. This is what their daddy taught them to do. Now, this is what they were doing. And all of a sudden, a man called Jesus walks under the sea. He says, "I want you to do something. I want you to follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men." And you know what they did? They said, "Well, you know, I got to go to school first." No, no. "Well, you know, I gotta bury my dead first." No, no. "Well, you know, I gotta go to work tomorrow." No, no. They dropped what they're doing and followed him.
Amen.
They dropped what they're doing and followed him. Notice something else, that he comes on to James and John, and they left their father. They left their father in the ship of the hired servant. I've met plenty of persons that should have been on the mission field, but they didn't want to leave mommy and daddy. They should have been preaching the gospel, but they didn't want to leave their family because they knew it just cost them too much. But not these two men. Jesus walks on the scene and says, I want you to follow me.
Amen.
And they left their family.
Amen.
I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do, but you know, when the choice came, whether they're going to follow their daddy, they're going to follow their Lord, they said, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'd ask you this morning a question, why go fishing? I asked that myself. Why go fishing? I mean, why leave the nets behind? Why leave your job? Why leave whatever you're doing? Why leave your career plans and go out and become a fisher of men? Why
go fishing?
Well, if we had no other reason, but because Jesus walked by our ship one day
Amen.
And said, follow me, that's the only reason we need.
Amen.
Huh? If we had no other verse to go by, no other scripture to know, no other scripture to memorize, nothing to God, it's but one other scripture that said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That ought to be good enough.
Amen.
Huh? How many times do you like to tell your children to do something? 15? 20? Or what? I prefer one time. I prefer going and say, son, I want you to do this, and I get an immediate response. I prefer, daughter, I want you to do this, and I get an immediate response. Well, my friends, we have the command of God. He told us, not just the hirelings, not just the people that we've hired to do it. He told us, the believers, the disciples of Christ, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Why go fishing? God told you to go. That's why we're thinking. What better excuse than that? Well, I can't complain about that. I mean, hey, God told me I'm going fishing. Huh?
Amen.
I like to say there's another reason we need to go fishing. There's an important reason. Because the lost are perishing.
That's right.
Because the lost are perishing. Because if we don't go fishing, there's going to be a lot of fish lost. And my friends, we're not just losing the fish, the whale, you know. We're losing them to eternity in a place called hell. A place that you were saved from. A place that God in His mercy looked down and saved your soul from. That's what we need to be out there. Look what he says here in the book of Romans in chapter 10. Why go fishing? Because it's the only hope for the people that are lost.
That's right.
Romans in chapter 10. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You remember that verse when you got saved? I do. This is the verse I got saved on right here. I remember the time the young lady sat down and opened up that. She said, do you believe that? I said, yes, I do. You ought to go home and do something about it. And I did.
Amen.
I got saved. I remember that verse. You remember verse 14? How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. My friend, it's the only way. You see, before you can ever be saved, you've got to hear about salvation. Before you can ever know the Lord, you've got to know who the Lord is. And my friends, you're not going to find out by gazing in the stars. You're not going to get the message told you by listening to the roar of the ocean. Some bird's not going to fly by your house and drop your nose and tell you about it. God has chosen by the force of preaching to save them to believe.
Amen.
And God has chosen you and I as individual believers to go around the world and preach the gospel.
Amen.
Why go fishing? It's the only way.
Amen.
Look in the book of Romans in chapter 2, verse 16. In a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to what? My gospel. I'd like to say that people that perish are one day going to be judged according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my friends, if they're not saved, no matter how much you sympathize for them, no matter how much you weep for them, if they ever believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, if they have never heard the message, they're going to drop into hell and spend eternity there. The problem is, you don't believe that. Look at the book of Acts in chapter 4. You missed Sunday school, you missed a good message. Verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. Do you believe this verse?
Amen.
Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
My friend, I'd like to say there's no other way. You know, my friends, it's just not an idea that you can just join in a religion. It's just not an idea that you can just be good and do whatever you please. And you know, if you just live by your conscience, God will overlook it. My friends, they got to know about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because He is the only way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
Why go fishing? It's their only hope. It's their only hope. Do you believe these verses? There is salvation. There is no salvation in any other. None other but Jesus Christ. It's not Buddha. Buddha's not another name for Jesus. Muhammad's not another name for Jesus. Confucius not another name for Jesus. The gods of the world are not another name for Jesus. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ they gotta know. I go fishing?
It's their only hope.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that they've got to hear the gospel before they can be saved? My friends, if there's another way, if there's another way for the people in Africa to be saved, if there's another way for the people in South America to be saved, if there's another way for the people of China to be saved, if there's another way for the people of San Antonio to be saved, would you show it to me out of the scripture?
Amen.
Huh? If there's another way, if God is some serious way, just because they've never heard, is going to overlook it and forgive it and allow them to go to heaven, my friends, us, I'm not going to know it. Us with the Bible, and I'll just forget it all and let God have mercy on them. But that's not the way.
Amen. Right.
God has chosen you and I. In fact, my Bible tells me He's entrusted us with the gospel. He's entrusted you and I as believers. What do you do?
If somebody entrusted you with their car, you take care of their car. And it's your trust. If somebody entrusted your house, you take care of the house. And it's your trust. But you know, somehow, when God has entrusted us with the gospel, we become negligent. We're just allowed to sit there, and we don't spread it out. We don't take care of it. We don't get the gospel message. God has not chosen the stars of heaven to tell a message. God has not chosen the animals of the world to tell the message. God has not chosen the angels of heaven. They could probably do a much better job. He's not chosen them to bear the message. He's chosen you and I.
Amen.
He's given you and I the responsibility to bear the message. Why go fishing? Because God told us to. Why go fishing? It's your only hope. We've got to tell them the message. God's not going to put a loudspeaker down and their tribe somewhere and speak to them. He's going to take somebody out of San Antonio, somebody out of Ypsilanti, Michigan, somebody out of Denver, Colorado, somebody out of wherever, and He's going to burden their heart.
Amen.
And burden their souls about a little village somewhere over in Taiwan, a little village somewhere in the heart of Mexico, a little village somewhere. He's going to burden them, and they're going to surrender. And they're going to give their life. How's He going to get the message to people in San Antonio? He's going to prick somebody's heart. Sitting in a meeting somewhere, they're going to get a hold of them, they're going to get a hold of their heart and go and tell people. And they're going to get convicted, and they're going to get burned and go and tell people. Well, I go fishing. I have to say there's one more reason we need to go fishing. Because we have a debt to.
Amen.
We have a debt to go fishing. You don't realize this, but I was put in debt some 10 years ago. Book of Romans in chapter 1. Verse 14, he says, I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and his salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I like to say another reason you didn't go fishing is because you're a debtor. You're a debtor to the person that told you about Jesus Christ. What would happen, my friend, if that person never came and knocked on your door?
Amen.
What if that person never would have took the time to call you on the phone and invite you out for revival meeting? What if that person never taken the time to take the gospel track out and put it down and you're in your hand and have you and give you an opportunity to read? My friends, I'd ask you this morning, where would you be had not that young lady sat down and opened up the Word of God and showed you the way of salvation?
Amen.
Where would you be this morning?
Where would you be this morning if that had not met uncle night after night?
Where would you be of that mommy and daddy who, when you were sick and when you were down and as you were growing up, they went into your bedroom and they prayed for you and they wept over you, crying out to God,
oh, save my little boy.
I like to say that you need to go fishing because you're a debtor.
That's right.
You're a debtor of the one that told you about Jesus Christ. You know why I go fishing? I go fishing because I'm a debtor. December 23rd, 1974. A young lady by the name of Gold Hudson. She didn't have to. She could have kept on going to church. She could have said, oh, that's the preacher's job. Oh, we'll let the evangelists do it. She could have said that. But no. She carried a little New Testament around her throat. When the opportunity came, she asked me that question. Right now you said, she took the time and told me about Jesus Christ. I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. You know what? I believe he's in heaven. I believe he died here just a few years ago. I believe. When I go out sometimes and think about it. Think about him telling me about
it.
Amen. You know, sometimes when I get tired of going, when I get tired of knocking on doors, listen to people like, the reason why they don't think about the
control. Amen.
Sometimes when I get tired, I don't want to think about her telling me. I think about her dying. So I gotta get
done. Amen.
But you know more important than that. I think of my God. Bless him.
Amen.
Oh, they abused him. And they mocked him. And they stripped him naked. And they hung him on a cross. And they mocked him and yelled out at him. And they crucified him. I'm a debtor to him.
Amen.
I want to die. I go fishing. Because you're a debtor. Just follow me and I think you're fishing for me. Are you a fisher? The Bible says, well, there's no vision, the people perish.
That's right.
If you don't get a burden, you don't get the vision. How many people have you walked by and never told them about you? How many people's lives have you been in contact and never told them about the Lord? And my friends, you know, that really doesn't bother me too much.
I can understand. There is a great majority of this people in this room that do not get me. But you know what it really strikes my heart is when you do damage.
That's right.
When you go into a job and say you're saved and you turn around and live like the devil. And you put to waste all the effort, all those people that are concerned, and knocking on the doors and spending their time in prayer, and you shoot it all down the drain just because of your testimony, my friend, that you can't live a good testimony, keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
How many times have I knocked on the door? I try to talk to someone about Jesus Christ. They say, oh yeah, I had that fellow down the road tell me about him. If that's the way he lives, I don't want nothing to do with it. And that's what the gospel is all about. I don't want nothing to do with it. What a tragedy. Why don't people go fishing? They have their reason to. God told them to go. There's no other hope for them. You're a devil. You ought to go. Why don't they go? Well, I've heard all sorts of, here's the famous one. Well, I don't believe in sport fishing. I believe that we ought to leave the commercial fishing.
Huh?
I don't think that we ought to be allowed to carry our poles down to the creek bed and go fishing. We ought to leave that up to the commercial fishermen. And by that, those are the ones that wear a tie and stand behind a pulpit and we pay a salary. And we make sure that he does the fishing. In fact, if he does it, we bring him before a board. And we ask him how many souls he visited this week. How many fish did he catch? And we want to know why the pulpits aren't filled. Why the meeting hall is not filled. And we're going to hold him account on how well he does the fishing. Yeah. Now, some I'm going to leave it up to the full-time fishing. The full-time fishing. Don't you realize, my friend, every believer is a full-time fisher?
Amen. Amen.
Don't you realize that's your occupation? Oh, you may work at McDonald's. Oh, you may go around and spraying bugs. You may sit in USA and type letters, but your occupation, my friend, if you're a born-again believer, is a fisher.
Amen.
Huh?
Yeah.
We're all full-time fishers. Either that or you're on strike, one or the other.
Amen.
And you're going to meet God one day. There's no wildcat. Well, there might be wildcat strikes, but you're going to pay the price. God's not going to come back and reward you for not working. God's going to hold you back. Oh, here's another excuse. Well, I'm planning on going fishing, but I'm learning. I really got the burden. I really got the concern. That's why I'm going to school for 4 years to learn how to go fishing. What happens after 4 years? Well, then I go to seminary. And I really refine the art of fishing. Well, then what are you going to do? Well, then I'm going to go on to OJT for 2 years. I'm going to follow somebody else around for 2 years. And after 10 years, I'm going to go fishing. What a tragedy. Huh? You know how you learn to go fishing? You get your daddy to take you down fishing.
Amen.
I mean, you bugging. You say, Daddy, I want to go fishing. Daddy, I want you to go. You know who your daddy is? The one that led you to the Lord. Huh? Hey, you told me about Jesus.
Right.
You came out fishing. I want you to show me how to do it. And you're bugging, they'll take you out.
Amen.
If they won't do it, you go find you somebody else that's fishing. And you say, hey, sir, pull on their pant leg. Sir, would you take me fishing? I sure would like to go. You know what I know?
Amen.
Those who like to fish like to show other people how to
fish. Amen.
I know that. You know what?
Amen.
They don't like going fishing by themselves.
Right.
If they can find another fisherman around, they say, let's go!
Amen.
Huh? And they'd be more than happy to show you.
Amen.
You say you don't know how? You don't know how because you didn't ask to go. Huh? You never went out. You know how you learn how to fish? You go out and try. Huh?
I can remember reading a book about Jack Holland. He was a big preacher up north. He had thousands of people listening to him. The man came in and he was wanting to. Brother Howell would pray for him. He would pray that I'd get a burden for soul. Would you pray that I'd get a burden? Brother Jack made him a deal. How about that? Deal and success. I'll tell you what. He said, I'll pray that you get a burden for soul. If you go soul. Huh?
I'll pray that you get a burden for souls if you go soul winning. Because there's a lot of truth in that. Some of you are waiting around for that burden. I mean, you've been sitting in your chair for 10 years now. You've been saved for over 10 years. You've just been sitting back waiting for some mysterious burden to overcome you. And somehow you just gotta go. Huh? You know how you get a burden? You go out and start talking to people. That's how you get a burden. That's how you get a burden. My friends, if you ever get the vision, you'll go. What does it make the man say, like Peter, I go fishing? What does it make the man to say that? I'm gonna go fishing. Sometimes you just gotta get out of the house, man. I'm going fishing because I gotta get away from the wife.
Well, I don't know if that's a good reason to go fishing or not.
Huh? Them kids are driving their daddy, I'm going fishing.
Well, I don't know. But whatever it is, my friend, if you gotta talk yourself into it, you gotta say, you know, this is a good day to go fishing. Most people that go fishing don't have to talk themselves into it.
That's right.
I mean, they look for the opportunity. I mean, they look at that paintbrush, and they look at that yard out there, and they look at the things about the house and they say, you know, I think I need to go fishing. Huh? Some of you have been looking for an excuse to get out of painting the house. I mean, what wife is going to complain about you going out soul winners and say that you didn't paint the house? They ain't going to complain. They'll catch you when you get back in. They make sure you get it done tomorrow. But you know what? What a perfect excuse.
Amen.
I've got priority, honey.
Amen.
Things got priority. I got to go out and win souls.
Amen.
King won't say nothing about that. If he does, come tell him about it.
Now I'll send Brother Kincaid after it.
I go fishing. We need to be fishing. You know what? God doesn't particularly care where you go fishing. You know, not, they don't say you've got to fish in such and such a street. He says you go fishing anyway. And you know what? He doesn't have time anymore. He doesn't say you can only fish between 4 and 10. No. You can fish 24 hours a day. I'm in the fishing spree. You don't got to buy a license. You don't have to buy a fancy hat with all those little barbers. You don't even have to go out and buy a whole bunch of lures. All you need is one little barber. And go out and go fishing. Huh? I wish I'd hear that song more often. That little phrase that Peter said, I go fishing. I go fishing. I wish that I could call somebody up and say, brother, I'd like you to come over to this. Well, I can't. I'm going fishing. Huh? I wish I'd hear that too many more often. Hey, you know, let's have some meeting. No, I'm busy right now. I'm going fishing. Huh? People make that excuse for not going to church. They say, well, you know, I'm going fishing. Or they're not spiritual fishing. They're out fishing for the slimy and grody looking thing. Huh? I go fishing. I tell you what, you go fishing, you can have some experience.
Amen.
Huh? Ain't nothing like fish stores.
Amen.
Ain't nothing like fish stores. I've got a few to tell you.
Amen.
I've got a few to tell you. Let me go back a little bit and say, you know, how to learn how to go fishing. You know how you got saved? You know how you got saved? Something you really don't know how you got saved, you need to find out. But if you know how you got saved, that's all you need to know. You just go there and repeat that story all over and over. You know when I first got saved? I wanted my dad to know. I wanted to tell him. And I went back to Gwen. I said, Gwen, I want you to write those verses down. Would you show me? I had a Bible I'd never read in my life. I dug it out. I said, would you show me the little verse that you showed me? And I had her underline. And I marked it. Oh, you marked your Bible. Yeah, you marked your Bible.
Amen.
And I had Romans 3:23, and I said, go to Romans 6:23. And 6:23, I said, go to Romans 10:23. And I had it all marked out. And you know what? I barely understood the verse. I barely understood. And you know what I did? I just read those verses over and over again. When I got through, I said, that's it. I give you what I got. That's it. That's the Bible. Friends, if you want to learn, if you want to go fishing, you can go fishing. And I'll tell you what, you learn how to go fishing by experience fishing. I went fishing down the coast here after I came down, about 76. I got down there at, I don't know what they call it, Port Aransas. Went out on a thing called the Cat, I think it's called, deep sea diving fishing thing. Terry Kreiner and I thought it was one out. We went down there and paid our $10 to go out for 3 hours. I thought, this is going to be great. I'm going to go fishing. They supplied the poles and the bait and everything. You know they gave him that pole? Yeah, I never seen it a big pole. And it's big. I never seen it a big pole. I'm used to fishing these little Zepco things and a little thing out there, you know. Anything bitter that's gone. And I got to know, I said, Terry, there's something matter with my pole. He said, what's that? He said, ain't got no bobber in it. Ain't got no bobber in it. I said, how in the world are you going to know if you got a fish on there if you ain't got no bobber on it? And the fisherman said, well, you'll know. I said, well, how are you going to know? I mean, if the bobber don't go in the water, you don't know you got a fish. And then I noticed that everybody was fishing on one side of the boat. I said, I'm not going to, I know better than that. I'm going on the other side of the boat. So I walked over on the other side of the boat, and I said, man, this is great. I've got this whole side of the boat to myself. I cast my line out there, boy, and I'm just awake. Pretty soon, I said, tap on the son, what in the world are you doing? The captain, I said, I'm fishing. He says, yeah, I realized that. You need to get on the other side of the boat. I said, it's too crowded over there. He said, boy, your line's over there anyway. The current took it onto my boat, and I don't want your line wrapping up underneath my boat. Now get over there. So, fish on. I said, well, everybody, roll your lines in. Roll my lines in. I'm fishing. Well, they made me roll my line. This guy caught a little shark and threw it right in my feet. I said, my. Oh, my. Well, they got that shark undone, and you know, they had bait on there bigger than any fish I ever caught in my life. Dude, I'll just take this home to my shore. Come on, look what I caught! And so, you know, I had my few complaints. I threw my line back out there. And sure enough, you know, got 25 people lined up shoulder to shoulder. And all of a sudden, fish on. They're trying to bring, and sure enough, that fish wrapped up all those lines. And I knew it. That's what I told you. I said, I knew it was going to happen. That's why I wanted to fish on the other side. I knew it. There's too many people over here to be fishing. So I was fortunate, I was one of the fortunate ones, I was able to get my line out before I was up. So they left those fishes wasted, they spent time undoing that, and I just threw my line. I fished my muscle, that was good. And sure enough, you know, without a bobber, I knew I had a fish. That pole went, what? Whoa, Dad, whoa! And then I thought the pole was broke because this thing was spinning. I thought, what am I going to do? So I put that little brake on. You know, I hit that thing and it went faster. I said, oh no, man, this thing's got a clutch on it. I said, I don't know, I can't flip that thing around. Nat and Captain comes running up, what are you doing, sonny? Flip the thing off. I said, well, I'll bring you the fish. Oh, I'd like to know about that fish. Finally, the captain says, son, give me a pole. The pole was coming. He's got to pick up the boat. So, you want to bring it? Yeah, let me bring it. I finished it off, you know. And I brought me a 3-foot, 10-pound piece. The biggest fish ever. I said, Terry, get this camera over here and take this picture because they ain't never going to believe it. They ain't never going to believe it. But you know what? I've been out knocking on some doors and I've got some fish. You say, how do you know? How do you know the fish is going to bite? Yeah. Sometimes you just know. I mean, the Spirit of God just tells you. I can remember a time some years back, Jonas and I were in your vision. And I just knew. I said, you know, we need to go by the best time. I'd already been advised by three different people. No, you don't want to go there. Bernie already said, no, don't go there. Janet said, no, you don't want to go there. I mean, she's just not going to buy it. She's not ready. I said, no, we need to go. Yeah, I can't explain it. You just know. I mean, that fish hits around. You just know.
Amen.
Anybody else? Knocking the door. Got to invite you in. Open up the gospel. Open up the word of God. Go to the gospel. You got to.
Amen.
You know what? Once you catch one, pretty soon you're going to catch another.
Amen.
One too long, the fish got saved. Mm-hmm. One too much longer, the rest of the time you got saved. Amen. Something bad. I tell you what, you go fish, you catch it, get one. All of a sudden you got to go back. Start golfing.
Amen.
You go one time, all of a sudden you got to go again. You got to watch out for them. Fix your habit. Let's fix it. I tell you what, fishing will help you to catch it.
That's right.
And if you get down about them, you go out and see some soul yourself. I tell you what. I remember a time. Of course, fishing is also frustrating. I mean, you know, you got to mess with bait. You got to mess with the line, you gotta mess with the pole, you gotta take time to drive off there. Sometimes it rains, you got mosquito bites all over you. Yeah, there are some things that affect things like fishing. But you know, every once in a while, you don't care about the fish bite, you don't care how much gas it took you to get out there, you don't care about anything. Once that thing goes, one pole now, that pole bends over, and that thing goes, it just makes you happy. And you know what? Every once in a while, you get real tired of mosquitoes. You tell yourself, I ain't never going fishing again. I'm tired of these people slamming the doors in my face. I ain't gonna do it. I'm not going fishing anymore. That's it. You throw the pole down about that time. What pole? That fish hits the line and there goes the pole right on the water. And I can remember the time. I spent 2 years talking with a man. Trying to give him a second. Little fish is full water. You look down and you can see the fish right there. That fish is that big. You can see him. And there's your bait. You're watching. And you're just looking at it. And pretty soon he calls all his friends and there's about five around there all looking at him. That's what I thought with this one fella. I walked back and said, he's on that bait so bad. He won. I mean, I was doing this. We walked back and forth. We said, I'm going to fix it. We had our boundary right there. We walked. We left the area, single patrol. We just walked at one area. I said, I tried everything I could. Man, I tried Genesis. You didn't like Genesis? I tried it. You didn't like Genesis? I didn't know. You didn't like Genesis? I didn't like Genesis. I mean, I tried everything. Well, after 2 years, I thought about that was your head. No, but I ain't never going to touch that fish. They told me that's a big fish. I'm never going to touch it. Well, one day I was over there with that. The phone rang. There's an image on the phone.
Hey, Brent.
What? Guess what? What? I don't like playing these guests in game seven. What? Jim McCallum, for God's sake. No! You ain't gonna tell me that. You know how you know those people catch fish. Huh? Yeah, it was this big! No, I know why you caught that thing. And I didn't believe it.
Sure enough, I was over there and better sound and better things were talking to me. I'm gonna see that fish now. But there, I walk out of my bed. I said, how am I going to handle it? What do I do? Do I go off to get caught? Because I let him tell. I really know how to handle it. I came walking across that bed, the storm's driving up, my heart just sank, my legs just sank, it's called fisherman's sake, you know? And I started getting nervous. I thought, I hope it's so. There's nothing worse than thinking you caught a fish and you really expect it. Huh? I said, I hope it's so. You know, I determined before I got out of the bed, so I wasn't going to say anything. I was making it. I got halfway across the parking lot, I said, I can't wait. He got in the car, I just started whooping the house.
Glory to God! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! I ran over and hugged him. I didn't find out he's saved or not yet. I just,
and both of them wet. And that day, he was sitting there.
Amen.
Telling people he got saved. Now, I think that's a fish on it.
Amen.
That fish got the whole thing. I thank God. First kind of fish, that kind of fish, you catch that kind of fish, makes you want to die.
Amen.
Huh? All those days, you sit those little niggas. All those people thinking like they're going to buy it. Thinking like they're going to take it. I tell you what. Those kind of fish, yeah. I tell you what. Well, look at my fishing, you go out fishing. I can remember another time, I took this fish, Jim McCallister, and told him, I'm going to show you how to be a fisherman. I took him out, said, all right, let's go. His man ain't been saved but a week. I got him out there. 3 nights a week, we used to visit 3 nights a week. The first night, we just passed out like 25 houses, and the next night, we passed the same site, a different site, the same houses. We'd go like that, and the third night, we'd pass the head, we'd leave the flag, and we'd talk about the water. We sort of baited the water. I mean, you see, we knocked the track out there. And that's a dream. Let him get the nose to wet a little bit. And we came in and talked. I had Jimmy Thompson out there. I said, all right, Jimmy, I'm going to do the first 25. You do the next 25. And I got the ball. And we're through. I told you, you know. And introduce myself. I said, here we go. Name the gospel class. I said, okay, Jim, you got this down? He said, yeah, I got a name. I said, you sure? Yeah. Okay. You're next. You're next. I said, you're up. We got up there, we knocked on the door. Lady answered the door. She said, yeah. He's in the couch for that great Christmas he was. He said, how you doing, ma'am? My name is Brent Riggs. This is Jimmy Couch. My name is Rick McCallister. And this is, we're from the church or somewhere. And he got himself all tangled up. I said, Jim, about this time I'm laughing because she don't know what's going on. I said, Jim, give me that fact and I'll show you how this thing's done. I said, how you doing, ma'am? My name is McCallister. Jim, this is Rick Brent. I said, oh, no. And we got to laughing so hard. I could not even, I finally, I just said, lady, would you take this back? And I was rolling off the porch. I wonder if they get that lady. I hope she got saved. You know, it wasn't too long that he got to be saved. Like, he'd be the only one to go out. We'd go out together. We'd just try to do something really amazing. I can remember telling the time we went fishing together. Made a great fishing party. We're knocking on the door. And I think we were doing the same thing. Called out place, somebody to care, somebody to know about it. Knocking on the door the first time. This big man. Big man. He's making a door get small. This guy, big, burly, tattoos all over. When I got tattoos on, they're mean. He come over and what you want, boy? Sir, I'd like to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ and the animal trap. Well, the next night we came by and knocked on the door again. The third night we came, there was Frankie out in the front lawn. They one was long. You know, they split the water right way out and then it goes, you know how it goes, right? That one ain't a poorly one. It's kind of go like that. You got it?
No.
Well, whatever. I said, Jim, we got ourselves a problem. I said, we don't let this little thing stop us and get the gospel of man. He said, no, sir, we're not going to do it. I said, well, you have any ideas? You don't want to go up there in the man's house wet. He's got that brilliant idea. He said, when that thing's sitting over that way, we'll run up there. That's a good idea, Jim. So we waited. We timed this up. That thing come over like that. And he goes, nah! And we shot off like a rocket down that sidewalk, hit that fork. And it was wet. We went sliding across there, face first, and the man screamed, wham, wham! That big old man had a coarse beard in his hand. He went, got up and said, what you boys want?
Sir, we're checking out here.
Get off my porch! Dude, we are gone. Some fish, you let somebody else catch. Huh? Some fish, you let somebody else catch. Like I said, when you go fishing, you get a lot of fishes thrown in there. I can remember another time we were out fishing. We took Rossi, board at the time, man. Rossi board. Now we went out fishing. We knocked on the man's door during the operation of somebody's caravan. Nobody was home. We came back the next day. This is the last day we're going to actually try to talk to him, try to get him to home and speak to him about the Lord Jesus before we just get in front. We got him to have one of the Spanish houses. We have it a gate. Everyone likes it. You get in there and you talk. Anyway, we went in there and we shut the gate and I turned around and this guy's big. This guy had a whole lot of flowers in his big clay pot. Well, they had tipped over right in front of the guy's door. Well, again, I don't like anything deterring me from getting up. I don't let water things stop me. I don't let, I'm not going to go anywhere. And so, I knocked on the door. Good answer. I rang the doorbell. No good answer. I really felt bad walking away from this thing because, you might think that I broke this thing. So I knocked again. We stood there good 15 minutes banging that guy's door. He's got to be home. I'm not walking away from here. This thing broke out here, you know. So the neighbors going to say, so I finally gave up. Well, he was going home. I don't know. So I decided I'd leave the crack on the door. And so I got the crack up there and I set it on the door. And that crack flew out of that door. And somehow got underneath all that stuff. I don't know how it did. To this day, I do not know how that happened. It got underneath that big clay pot. And I reached over to get that thing. What it looked like is I dropped the crack, reached over to get it, and knocked over this man's pot. About that time, I'm reaching over, this guy opened the door. I banged on his door for 15 minutes. And as soon as I banged over, he answered the door. I said, sir. I really didn't. It was too late. Forget it. But then we got to talk to that man for 40 minutes about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, when you go fish, sometimes there's a lot of embarrassing situations. Sometimes those obstacles up there. But you know, my friends, you and I know if you want to go fishing bad enough, you go. You don't care what the wife said. You don't care what the boss said. You don't care what anybody said. If you want to go bad enough, you go. Friends, I got enough fish stories to take you all day long.
You know why? I've been
fishing. That's right.
Have you been fishing? Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. Are you a fisher? Are you a fisher? We want to build a fisher.
Yeah.
We want to fill these feet. Not for our glory. Not for our glory. But for the glory of God.
Amen.
Look in John, in chapter 21. The Lord has died, has been crucified, is buried, is resurrected. John 21, verse 3. Simon Peter said unto the man, he says, I go fishing. And they said, if we also go with thee. Praise God for that. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fishers coat upon him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and a fish lay thereon and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring the fish which ye have now caught.
I'd like to say, there's some things we need to learn out of here. First of all, Simon Peter said, I go fishing. You know, there's nothing better than for one man to get the vision to say, I go fishing. But what happens when the rest of the family say, we go off?
Amen.
You know, it's great when one or two people get the burden. I praise God for every person that ever gets the burden to go fishing. But you know how much better it would be for all of the disciples? Hey, we're going to go too. We're going to go too. I'd like to say there's something else we need to learn out of here.
But when they heard the master's call, they weren't hesitant. You look back in their lives earlier, Jesus told them to cast their nets over the side. They said, no, we're experienced. We know there are no fish out there. We've been fishing all night long. And then we cast one net and the net went. Well, you know what he says here? Cast the net in and then immediately was found.
Although they told all the night, although they had knocked on a lot of doors and nobody wanted to hear, they took the master's call and they threw the net in.
You know what? They caught a good multitude.
I like to say one thing about fishing. Unless God does a drawing, forget it.
Right.
It's not what tackle you can throw up. It's not your great fishing ability. It's God doing the drawing and God doing the saving. My friends, it's just our job to get out there and be ready to throw the net in. That's our responsibility. I'd like to say something else. You can fish one-on-one or you can go net fishing. Doesn't matter. You can go pole fishing one at a time. That's good fishing. One-on-one.
This is as good as anything else.
Or you can go out there and take a great big net. Throw it out there and just catch multitudes. I mean, you can stand behind a pole and preach to thousands, or you can walk there just one-on-one. Doesn't matter. You're in the business of catching fish.
Amen.
You know what? They're all one by one anyway. All one by one anyway. I'd like to say something else, right quickly.
You gotta do it God's way.
Right. You gotta do it God's way. But you know what? If you go up to Colorado here, you gotta have a special permit for a special day for a certain type of fish and a certain type of river. You gotta do it by the book. In fact, you gotta buy a rule book to find out how to fish up there. In many places, in many states, they got rule books on how you fish. What fish you can catch, what fish you can't. And you know what, my friends? If you go there and catch fish you ain't supposed to know what they're gonna do with your fish, they're gonna take them away from you. Although you went and labored, although you bought the license, although you did a lot of things, if you don't do it according to the rules, the fish is gonna be taken away from you. But God has chosen the way to fish. He told him, he said, the way you fish is you preach the gospel. That's what he's chosen. You know, my friends, we can go get an M16.
We can run up and down here. We get some people involved in M16. When you pick an M16 coming, they're going to come to the door. You know, that's not God's way.
It's not God's way either to send out notices and say, we'll pay you $1 to come. That's not God's way. It's not God's way necessarily to tell that put candy on a bus and get people to come in and give them a free pipe and trip them down. That's not God's way. God chose the foolish to preach and say, you believe. What I'm trying to say is we got God's rule book on fishing. He said, you preach to that.
Well, there's a lot we need to learn about fishing, but look at verse 10. Here's the question. Jesus, bring the fish if you had now come. What happens when we get on that shore, the glory shore? Jesus is already up there. He doesn't need your fish. He doesn't need what you've done. He's already got the fish there. And I'd like to meet you. He says to you, bring the fish if you come.
Amen.
I ask you, my friend, are you going to bring in anything? Are you going to have a net full? Are you going to go up there? You've been saved for 20 years. You were called to go fishing 20 years ago. And you stand before me, no fish. There's a man named Dawson Stop, he don't believe this thing, he catches fish.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? He's gonna say, you can't win some of the Lord, you probably not saved. Well, I don't know that's true, man. I think it'd be a great thing before God. I ask you, do you look at that and think about it? Bring a fish if you have now caught. Look back and you want fishing record. Have you ever gone fishing? Have you ever caught any fish? Let me tell you this, real quickly. We're not in the business of scaring away the fish. We're in the business of catching. We need to win the fish. We need to capture the fish. I guess if you follow me, I mean, I'll give everybody, maybe I should. I'm not going to give an invitation this morning, except that I want you to go fishing. But I just want you to think, take this time right now. Are you a fisher? Search yourself. Ask yourself, have I been a fisher of men? Have I been a good fisher? Have I been casting my net wherever I go?
about them leading up to the commercial fishermen. Friends, we want this building to grow. We want this fire to grow. We want God to get the glory. But friends, it's not going to be done unless we do some fishing.
Right, amen.
I go fishing. You want to go fishing with me? There's people out here that go fishing almost every week to go fishing. They'd be more than happy to take you fishing with me. You want to go fishing? When Jesus comes, he said to you, will you follow me and I'll make you a fisherman? Will you immediately forsake whatever you're doing and follow him? Have you got something you're holding on to? I'm just asking you to do what God tells you to do. That's all. Why go fishing? God told you to. Why go fishing? It's the lost only hope. Why go fishing? You're a debtor, my friend. You're a debtor of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a debtor of the one that told you about Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you.
See the world. Lord, I pray you make us all better fishermen. And I pray that we bring forth. Lord, I pray for the day that we have this building completely packed out for your glory. Lord, I pray that we bring people and then teach them to be fishers. Lord, I pray that we multiply them for your glory. God, give us the grace to do it. Lord, give us the mercy to do it. Give us the boldness to do it. Lord, make